بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، من يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدى هدى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث صحيح: إن الله يحب معالي الأمور وأشرافها ويكره سفسافها. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, إخوان, told us in an authentic hadith: Verily Allah loves the high and the exalted affairs, the ma'ali al-amur, from the word Ali. The person's name is Ali, or the word Ala, it means to be high and above. Allah loves the ma'ali al-amur. He loves the affairs that are high and exalted, and he hates the affairs that are low and base, the success of the affairs. This hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is part of the discussion that we want to have with you today, from a matter that is from the Ma'ali al-Amur that we should preoccupy ourselves with. And unfortunately, during this time, the Muslim community, wherever you go, they are not being diligent, and we are not being upon what we should be upon as it relates to this issue. The ma'ali of the affairs are many in al-Islam. There are many things that are from the exalted affairs that Allah loves from Muslim men and Muslim women, from this ummah. They are many. Some are higher than others. Like the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabir radiallahu anhu, when he was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Messenger of Allah said to him, "Ala ukhbirukum bi ra's al-amr wa 'umudihi wa dhirwati sanamihi?" Shall I not tell you of the head of the matter, ra's al-amr, the ra's, the head of the issue, and the pillar of the issue, and the peak of the matter? Mu'ad said, yes, tell us, what is the head of the affair, Ya Rasulullah? What is the Ra'sul Amr? And what is the pillar of the affair? And what is the peak of the matter? He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ra'sul Amr al-Islam. The head of the affair is al-Islam. And the meaning of al-Islam here is the kalima of al-Tawheed. It is the highest affair that you can preoccupy yourself with. Allah loves that the Muslim community, the Muslim man and the Muslim woman, the youth of this ummah, Allah loves that you come to know about the meaning of La ilaha illallah and what it entails. Whenever the Muslim has an opportunity to purchase a book talking about the aqidah and the ideology of al-Islam, he should turn to that issue and take it seriously. There's a class being given about what the Muslim should believe in and what he shouldn't believe in. The Muslim takes it seriously. When there's an issue where the pollutants enter into what the Muslims believe, he has to do his best to get away from it and to clarify that issue for his Muslim brothers and sisters, because the aqidah of al-Islam is the highest affair that there is. So the aqidah is the ra's, is the head of the affair. And the pillar of the affair, he said, is the salat. If the person doesn't have a salah, then there's no deen for him. So praying on time is from the ma'ali al-amur, it's from the high affairs. Praying fajr on time, whether you pray in the masjid, whether you pray at home, praying the Salat al-Isha. Those two prayers are the most difficult prayers on the munafiqeen. People who have doubt in their iman, they find it difficult praying those two prayers. So the Muslim who's taking care of the Salat of al-Jum'ah, the Salat of al-Eid, and all of the salawat, those are from the affairs that Allah loves. And finally, he said in this hadith, وَذِرْوَةِ السَّنَامِهِ الْجِهَادِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And the peak of the matter is al-jihad fi sabilillah. Obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to love the person when he participates in the jihad, because jihad is the ultimate sacrifice. A person puts his life and limb on the line, and that's the ultimate sacrifice. So it's a clear proof that he has faith and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ma'ali of the amur are many, ikhwan. They are too many. Connecting your ties of relationship is from the ma'ali al-amur. For those of us who have misunderstandings and shaitan has come to us through this door where we do not connect our ties of kinship, know for surety to connect the ties of kinship are from the ma'ali al-amur that are not simple. They are what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves in the religion. Your cousin, your aunt, the relatives of your wife or your husband, those people over the years, over the last month, there are problems between you and them. You just don't get along. There are things that have happened. Allah loves that you connect that affair. How do we know it's from the ma'ali al-amur? Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, she narrated that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, al-arush, مَعَلَّقَةٌ الْرَحِمِ مُعَلَّقَةٌ بِالْعَرُشِ تَقُولُ مَنْ وَصَلَنِي وَصَلَهُ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ قَتَعَنِي قَتَعَهُ اللَّهُ. The clear proof that connecting your ties of relationship are from the ma'ali of the affairs, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the womb that bore us, our ties of relationship, he said, الرحم is connected to the arush of Allah. And the arush of Allah is over the seven heavens. It is connected to the arush of Allah. And it is saying, whoever connects me, Allah will connect him. And whoever severs me, Allah will sever him. So a person, he can be doing other aspects of the ma'ali of amur. He can make jihad. He can learn about aqidah and learn about the deen. An individual can make salat. But because he allows those relationships to remain severed and broken, Allah will break his affair. What does it mean to have his affairs broken? His affairs are in disarray. His children are not practicing al-Islam, and there are major problems between him and his children. He gets fired. He gets laid off. He gets sick within his body. He has mental issues going on. That can all be caused by disconnecting the rahim. Whoever connects me, Allah will connect him, meaning his affairs. Make things easy for him. And whoever disconnects me, Allah will disconnect him. So all of that is from the ma'ali of the amur. And there are many. Building masjids, building schools, all of that. And there are also, ikhwan, in contrast, many affairs that are fasad. Those affairs that are low, that Allah does not love. He does not like. He does not love them. From them is the individual who sleeps all day long. He may not pray, or he may pray, and then he sleeps all the way up to al-dhuhr. That's from the success that Allah doesn't love. Because he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ju'ilat barakatu ummati fi bukuriha. The blessings of my ummah have been placed in the early morning. You know that saying in English, the early bird gets the worm. The bird that leaves the nest early in the morning and he goes out, he's the one who gets the worm. For some reason, from the sunnah of Allah in creation, the worm and the fish and everything else, they come out early in the morning. So the barakah of this ummah is in the early part of the day. That's when he tries to do most of his efforts. So if he doesn't have a good reason to sleep all morning, he should get up and he should go out and try to become employed. For the Muslim to remain unemployed, and he's young, strong, intelligent, he has the ability to go and get a job. If he chooses to be on public assistance, and he has the ability to go out and get a job, that's from the success of the affairs. The Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-yad al-ulya khayru min al-yad al-sufla. The upper hand is better than the lower hand. Meaning the hand that gives is better than the hand that receives. Especially if the receiving is coming from those people who don't believe in our deen. So for the person to remain unemployed and he doesn't try to do anything with his time, he doesn't try to go and to seek gainful employment, these are from the affairs that Allah Azza wa Jalla, he does not like. If the person has a reason to receive public funds, public assistance, and this is permissible in the deen, the Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, received gifts from kuffar over the course of his dawah ila Allah. Today we want to come to share with you, inshallah, one of the highest aspects of the ma'ali al-amur that we want to invite you to and encourage you and to remind you of. And as we mentioned, for the brothers and the sisters in our community, the Muslim ummah in general, we are negligent as it relates to this particular affair, which is from the ma'ali al-amur. And that is for all of us to see the need to preoccupy ourselves with giving some of our time to the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, memorizing the Quran, reading the Quran, learning the tajweed of the Quran, and not allowing so much time to go by before you reacquaint yourself with the Quran. Every Ramadan, our iman goes up and we sit to read a 30 of the Quran. But for the last 10, 15, 20, 25 years that we've been fasting, we have not completed the Quran one time in the month of Ramadan. Why? Because the Quran is that type of book. You're not going to come to it once in the year and complete it like that. You're not going to do it. Allah said in the Quran, "Inna sanuqi alayka qawlan thaqila." We're going to reveal to you, Ya Muhammad, a statement that is heavy. The Quran. وَلَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِيًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. Had we revealed this Quran on a mountain, you would have seen the mountain rent asunder from the heaviness and the weight of the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ikhwan, will be upon his camel, and ayats of the Quran will be revealed to him at that time, and the camel will fall to the ground. Couldn't hold the weight of the Quran. Do you think and do I think we're going to come to the Quran in the month of Ramadan and complete it in 1 month and you didn't acquaint yourself with the Quran throughout the year? The nature of the Quran, and I use that term loosely, the way the Quran is, the way it is that it is going to overpower you because it is thaqil, as Allah has described in the Quran. So we want to encourage you and we encourage ourselves to encourage your children and to encourage your wives about the importance of reading the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, memorizing the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, contemplating and considering the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Quran, as you all know, Allah has commanded us when He said, وَاعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold on to the rope of Allah all together. And do not be divided amongst yourselves. This ayat is clear that it is not permissible for us in our community to be divided. Ha'ula'i, they're upon something else. Ha'ula'i, they're on something else. Ula'ika, they're on something else. Allah ordered us in this ayah. Wa'tasimu bihablillah. Hold on all together to the rope of Allah. The habl of Allah. I don't know, is that an Urdu word, habl? How do you say rope in Urdu? Habl is a rope. In this ayat of the Quran, the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the habl of Allah? He said, Al-Quran hablullah al-mamdood min al-sama'i ila al-ard. The Quran is the rope of Allah that extends from the heavens to the earth. So we have to hold on to the rope of Allah, which is the Quran, all together, and we should not be divided amongst ourselves. He told us, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, الدين النصيحة. الدين النصيحة. الدين النصيحة. قيل لما يا رسول الله؟ قال لله ولكتابه ولرسوله ولأئمة المسلمين وعمتهم. The religion is giving good advice. He said it three times. The whole religion is advising each other. They said advising each other to what? He said advising each other to the book, to Allah, being sincere. Advising each other to the book of Allah, reading it, understanding it, calling to it, practicing it, believing that it has all of the answers, believing that it is not corrupt, that it is complete, believing that it is a shifa and a rahmah, believing in that it will open up the doors for you and the problems that you have. And it's also giving advice to his messenger and to the Muslim leaders as well as the general folk. So we have multiple ahadith and ayat, ikhwan, telling us about the importance of holding on to the Quran. From the virtues of the book of Allah Azza wa Jal that should serve as an encouragement for you who are sitting here. And each person knows, when was the last time you read the Quran? When was the last time that you spent 3 or 4 or 5 days consistently dedicating your time to the Quran? Now, ikhwan, if we compare the time that we sit on the TV to the time that you committed to the Quran just last week, the Quran is going to be pale in comparison. A little part of our time. That's if we even read it at all outside of the Salah. So from the virtues of the Quran is, in our masjid right here as we sit here, someone here is the best Muslim here. It may be Akbar. It may be Muhammad. It may be Hassan, Hussein. Someone here, Ashraf, he is the best Muslim here. The one who reads the Quran, learns the Quran, and teaches the Quran, the one who does that the most, he's the best one from amongst this majlis right now. Uthman, the Khalifa of Umar radiallahu anhu, he said that he heard the Prophet say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه. The best of you in this majlis is the one who learns the Quran, and then he teaches the Quran. He learns the meaning of the ayat of the Quran, and then he teaches that. Even if he's only teaching it to his children, he learns it and he teaches it to someone from the creation. He learns and he memorizes the Quran, and then he teaches others how to memorize the book of Allah. He is the best in this majlis. The best kalam is the kalam of Allah. So if a person becomes preoccupied with it, he's doing what is from the best deeds. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i Ikhwani used to say in a famous statement of his, and he's one of the mountains of knowledge in this religion, one of the four imma, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make his qabr, a qabr that is wasi', and to put him in the Jannah, as we make that dua for all of the imma of al-Islam. He used to warn the people and he would say, do not live in a city where there is not a scholar of the Quran and a doctor. Do not live in a place. You want to move here, you want to move there. You want to make hijrah, you want to relocate. He said, do not live in a place where there is not a scholar of the book of Allah living there and a doctor, a medical doctor. The medical doctor obviously is going to take care of your medical issues, your problems. Your body is going to break down. When it does, you need to be seen by a doctor. You can't do that on your own, so you're going to need his services. As for the scholar of the Quran, he's going to read the Quran for you correctly. He's going to preserve and maintain the book of Allah and teach you the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you want to be the best one from the community, this is from the ways. In addition to that, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us a picture of what is going to happen to the sahib of the Quran yawm al-qiyamah. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said in an authentic hadith that's been collected by Bukhari and Muslim. Whenever we mention that a hadith is muttafaq alayhi, in Arabic we're going to start saying, inshallah, this hadith is muttafaq alayhi. That means that Bukhari and Muslim narrated that hadith. So we're going to stop saying Bukhari and Muslim narrated it. We're going to say muttafaq alayhi. This is an Arabic word that we should know. In our Arabic vocabulary as Muslims, we know a lot of words. We may not be able to speak Arabic and hold a conversation with an Arab, but our vocabulary is massive. Walillah alhamd. Everyone knows in Arabic what kitab is. Everyone knows what a bait is. Everyone knows the shams. Everyone knows a rajul. Everyone knows a mar'a. Everyone knows a qalam. From the words you have to add on to your Arabic vocabulary and your Islamic knowledge is this hadith is muttafiq alayh. Bukhari and Muslim narrated. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, الذي يقرأ القرآن وهو ماهر به مع السفرة الكرام الكرر البررة والذي يقرأه وهو يتتعتع فيه وهو عليه شاق له أجران. This hadith is an argument upon us, over all of us. Because someone here may say, well, I'm not an Arab speaking person. My lisan, my tongue is not Arabic. So the Quran is difficult. The sister may say, I have 1, 2, 3, 4 children, and I have to take care of them in my husband's home. I have no time for the Quran, in addition to the fact that I am not an Arab. This hadith is an argument against us. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever reads the Quran and he is an expert, he is mahir, hafiz, mutqin, he knows the tajweed, he knows the ayat where to stop. He knows that there are ayat that you just can't read them continuously. There are certain ayat, it's haram to continue. You have to stop. There are certain ayat, it's haram to stop. You have to keep going. He knows all of that. He knows how to elongate the ayat, when to do it and when not to do it. Whoever is like that, he will be raised up yawmul qiyamah with the malaika. And then he said, and whoever reads the Quran, wa huwa yatata'ta'u fi. And he stutters and makes mistakes, and it's difficult upon him, he will get a double reward. So I ask all of you by Allah, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. We are non-Arabic speaking people. And it's difficult for all of us to pick up the Quran and to read it without making mistakes. All of us are going to make mistakes. We should be reading with a fatha, we read it with a dhamma. Instead of saying zalim, we say zalim. We have difficulty. If you have difficulty with the Qur'an and you stutter in the Qur'an, you'll get a double reward. One reward, because of the fact you're reading the Qur'an. The other reward is because you are struggling with it. So which of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will we deny? And that's how shaitan comes to us. He makes one of us think, leave the Qur'an because it's difficult. When I want to read Surah Al-Kahf on Friday, it may take an hour and a half. That's too long. I'm not going to commit the time to it because it makes me physically tired. That's from shaitan. You'll get a double reward for all of those efforts. So that is also from the virtues of the Quran. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, radiallahu anhu, he also told us in an authentic hadith that is muttafiq alayhi. Akhi, what's the meaning of muttafiq alayhi? This hadith of Abu Musa is muttafiq alayhi, the prophet, our messenger. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, showing the power of the Quran and what it does for us. مثل المؤمن الذي يقرأ القرآن كمثل أترج ريحها طيب وطعمها طيب ومثل المؤمن الذي لا يقرأ القرآن كمثل التمرة لا ريح لها وطعمها حلو ومثل المنافق الذي يقرأ القرآن كمثل الريحانة ريحها طيب وطعمها مر ومثل المنافق الذي لا يقرأ القرآن كمثل الحنظلة لا ريح لها وطعمها مر. Tremendous hadith. متفق عليه. The example, the similitude of the believer who reads the Quran is like the similitude of the atrajja. Al-Atrajja is a fruit that's found in the desert, in the Arabian Peninsula. It is similar to the melon. You know, the melon dew, the green one. It's like a cantaloupe. It's succulent and sweet. He said the example of the believer who reads the Quran is like this particular fruit. It has a good smell and it has a wonderful taste. And the example of the believer who doesn't read the Quran is like the example of the date. The date that we eat in Ramadan. It has no smell at all, but the taste is sweet.
And they're similar to the example of the munafiq, the kafir, who Allah said about him, he is in the dark al-asfal min al-nar. The munafiq is in the lowest part of the hellfire. That's how khabith he is. But yet, the munafiq who reads the Quran, his similar tool is like the rayhana. The rayhan is the flower that's purple and green. It has a beautiful smell, but it's very sour. And the example of the munafiq who doesn't read the Quran is like the example of the handala. The handala, ikhwan, is a cactus fruit. It's from the cactus family. If you stepped on it without any shoes, you're going to taste its bitterness in your mouth. It does away with stomach ailments. It is so sour, if you step on it right here without any shoes and socks on, you're going to taste it in your mouth. So that is the similar tool of the munafiq. So you can see, ikhwan, the Quran even benefits the munafiq. And that's why the Prophet used to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَخْوَفْ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي مِنْ كُلِّ مُنَافِقْ عَلِيمُ الْلِسَانِ. The thing that I fear most from my ummah is the munafiq who has eloquent speech. He knows the Quran and he knows how to argue. So the point from this hadith is, if the believer, one of us, the Muslim, if he reads the Quran, his similar tool is like that succulent fakiha, the atraj. It has a good smell and it tastes good because he has iman and he reads the Quran. As for the believer who doesn't read the Quran, he's like the tamar, the date. He doesn't read the Quran, so he only tastes sweet. But because he doesn't read the Quran, the other aspect is not there. So the point is, ikhwan, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that we should preoccupy ourselves with. It will beautify the munafiq even. In addition to that, from the virtues of the Quran, is what happened in another hadith that is muttafaqun alayhi. Umar radiallahu anhu, during his khilafah, he met the leader of the Muslims who was the governor of Mecca. The governor of Mecca during the khilafah of Umar, his name was Nafi' ibn Abdul Harith. So the question would be, Ya Ikhwan, who was the governor of Mecca during the khilafah of Umar? No, I would never ask those kind of questions. Nafi' ibn Abdul Harith. Umar met him and he asked Nafi', who did you leave in your absence as the leader of the people of Mecca, Quraysh, and the Ashraf of Quraysh? Who did you leave in charge? He said, I left in charge Ibn Abza. Umar said, and who is Ibn Abza? Who is that? I never heard of that person. He said, he is a former slave of ours, one of our free slaves. He used to be a slave, and he worked himself out of slavery, and now he's a free man, a bondsman. He's not a slave anymore. Umar found that strange. He said, have you left a mawla as the ruler, the leader, over the Ashraf of Quraysh? Why did you do such a thing? Nafi' said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, huwa a'lamuna bi kitabillah wa bil fara'id. He is the most knowledgeable from amongst us in the book of Allah, and he knows the laws of inheritance better than everyone else. Umar said, verily I heard the Prophet say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna Allah yarfa'u bihadha al-kitab aqwamin wa yad'u bihi akharin. Verily Allah will raise up a group of people with this book, by this book, and he will put down another group of people. Allah Ta'ala, ikhwan, he raised up Bilal ibn Rabah with this Quran, and he put down Abu Lahab and Abu Jahl, and he put down Uqba ibn Umayyah, who were from the main personalities of the times of Al-Jahiliyyah. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, Al-Imam Ahmed, Al-Imam Muslim, Al-Imam Malik, Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, those ulama of Al-Islam, everyone knows about them. But the people who didn't preoccupy themselves with the book of Allah, who are they and where are they? We don't know. Right now, as you all will agree, the best place to be an imam at is in Mecca, Medina, and Bayt al-Maqdis. During this time,
many of us are preoccupying ourselves with learning knowledge about different aspects of the religion, like hadith and the sunnah. And rightly so, we should preoccupy ourselves. But who are the imams in Mecca and Medina? Are they from the ulama of al-hadith? La, they're not from the ulama of al-hadith. They're from the people, the men, who memorize the book of Allah. Now Allah gave them the ni'mah of being imams in the greatest masajid for the Muslims. So the point is, ikhwan, the one who knows the Quran, Allah will raise you in the dunya. If a group of Muslims die collectively, and we have only one place to bury them, we're going to put the one with the Quran in the best position. If the Muslims want to do a particular thing, and we have to decide who's going to be the one that will choose for this, we're going to choose the one who memorized the majority of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has given virtues and He has given superiority to the Hufad of the Quran. And if this is the case, then obviously, ikhwan, we also should look at the people who memorize the Quran the same way. Our young brothers are learning the book of Allah and they're memorizing the Quran. We have a hafiz in this masjid. Wherever the Muslim youth find themselves in the dunya, if a person is teaching you the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, you have to respect that individual. And we'll give you this similar tool. If you can imagine, I have the Quran in my hand. I have the Quran in my hand. The brother across the room, he's older than me, he asked, Abu Usama, can you give me the Quran? If I took the Quran and I threw it across the floor to him until it arrived, everyone's going to look at me and they're going to get up and they're going to say, we'll never listen to that guy again. Because he has no respect for the Kitab of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And rightly so. Similarly, ikhwan, the individual who has the Quran in his heart, he should be dealt with a certain way. He shouldn't be flung across the floor like that. He shouldn't be dealt with in any way. If that individual has the book of Allah, we respect him and we honor him because he has the Quran in his breast, in his head. This is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah raises with the Quran a group of people and he puts down other people as a result of the Quran. Before we continue, there are a few points we need to mention though. When we encourage ourselves and you to turn to the Quran, we are not saying that we should just memorize the Quran for the sake of memorizing the Quran. You should memorize the Quran with the intention of working by the book of Allah. Those companions, when they learned the Quran, unlike us, they did not try to read a whole page of the Quran. They would memorize 10 ayat, understand the meaning of the ayat, and not proceed those 10 ayat until they understood them and they worked by them. What would be the benefit of memorizing all of the Quran and not working by the Quran? What Allah has made haram in the Quran, halal in the Quran, we don't make an effort to do or we don't make an effort to stay away. So the intent is not just to memorize the Quran. Aisha said about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kana khuluquhu al-Quran. His character was the Quran. So when you read the Quran about ayats of being patient, Rasulullah exemplified that and it was manifested in his behavior. Taking care of the amana, not making ghiba or namima or al-kadhib, being true to one's word, all of that would be seen in the behavior of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. He told us, yuta يوم القيامة بالقرآن وأهله الذين كانوا يعملون به في الدنيا تقدمه سورة البقرة وآل عمران تحاجان عن صاحبهما. يوم القيامة the Quran will be brought and those people who are the people of the Quran will be brought, those people who used to work by the Quran, the hadith said. In front of them, preceding them, will be Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran. So from the hadith we understand, those people who used to read these two surahs and they used to work by these two surahs. So the intent is just not memorization. The second point, ikhwan, that we want to mention is, when you learn the Quran and you read the Quran, You have to learn the Qur'an with tajweed. You have to learn the Qur'an and how to read the Qur'an properly. You cannot pick up the Qur'an. I don't care how smart you are. If you are an Arab with a lisan that is fasih, he has a PhD in Arabic literature, he cannot pick up that Qur'an and read it correctly by himself. We have to read the Qur'an with tajweed, as Allah commanded. It is wajib in the Qur'an. وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. Read the Qur'an with tartil. If you have an opportunity to go to a class to learn Arabic or to learn the tajweed of the Qur'an, you should learn the tajweed of the Qur'an before the Arabic class. Because Arabic is not wajib upon you. You do the best that you can. Read transliteration, do the best that you can. But Allah commanded in the Qur'an, وَرَتِّلَ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. And read the Qur'an with tartil, with tajweed. يوم القيامة يقال لصاحب القرآن اقرأ وارتقي ورتل كما كنت ترتل في الدنيا فإن آخر منزلتك عند آخر آية تقرأها. It will be said to the one who reads the Quran, read and rise up and read with tajweed as you used to read in the dunya. For verily the last place where you'll arrive in the Jannah will be determined by the last ayat that you read. Which brings us to the third point. The first point, we learn the Qur'an to work by the Qur'an. The second point, we have to learn the tajweed. The third point, you can't learn the tajweed without taking a sheikh. Someone to read the Qur'an to him. That you read the Qur'an on an individual. Anas ibn Malik said about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أجود الناس وكان أجود ما يكون في رمضان حين يلقاه جبريل وكان جبريل يلقاه في كل ليلة في رمضان. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was the most generous person. If you ever asked him for something, if he had it, he would give it to you. And if he didn't have it, he would go and borrow it to give it to you. He was the most generous person. And he used to be more generous in the month of Ramadan when Jibril used to come to him. Verily, Jibril used to come to him every night in Ramadan to rehearse with him the Qur'an. Rasulullah would sit and Jibril, he would start to read the Qur'an and Jibril would listen to make sure that Rasulullah knew the Qur'an. He did that for the last few years of his life. And in the last year, when Rasulullah was going to die, Jibril came to him two times in the month of Ramadan. Twice. In the first part of Ramadan, and in the second part when he made the i'tikaf. And Rasulullah read the whole Quran from the beginning to the end, and he knew that was a sign that he was going to die. Jibril would tell him, put this ayat there, put this surah there, put this here. So the Quran, the way we have it, it is there as a result of the way Allah wanted it to be. He was taught by Jibril. Allah told us in the Quran in Surah Al-Najm, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنَ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَىٰ. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, does not speak from his own desires. Instead, he speaks from the revelation that was given to him. عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَىٰ. He was taught by one who was شَدِيدُ قَوِىٰ. He is extremely strong, meaning Jibril, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. So, ikhwan, if that's the messenger of Allah, and he was the most articulate and eloquent of the Arabs, he was taught the Qur'an by Jibril, then what about you and me? You have to be taught the Qur'an. In the ayat that first came down, اقرأ, what should I read? I don't know how to read. اقرأ, what should I read? I don't know how to read. اقرأ, what should I read? I don't know how to read. اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. In this statement اقرأ, the scholar said it is a proof that he was taught how to read by Jibril. So it's a clear proof, ikhwan, that you cannot pick up the Quran by itself. There's a surah in the Quran called Al-Qiyamah. Surah Al-Qiyamah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Jibril would come to him and he would reveal verses of the Quran to him, the Prophet would try to memorize those verses and he would read very quickly. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Malikim, Yawmiddin, Iyyaka. And he would read, trying to hold on to the memorization, as some of us read the Quran very quickly when we memorize. Then Allah revealed Surah Al-Qiyamah, Al-Qiyamah. إِنِّي سَلَاتُ حَرِّكْ بِهِ لِسَانَكَ لِتَعْجَلَ بِهِ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمْعَهُ قُرْآنًا فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبَعْ قُرْآنًا. Verily, you should not move your tongue that fast, Muhammad, trying to get it. But it is our job, Allah Azza wa Jalla, it is our job to bring it together and to read it for you. So when we read it to you by Jibril's help, then follow what has been read. Then the Prophet stopped, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, going over the Quran very quickly like that. He would wait, Jibril would read it to him with ease, and then he would read it back to Jibril. So the point, ikhwani, is you need someone to teach you that book. The Prophet would go to his companions like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and he would tell him, Iqra alayya al-Qur'an. Ya Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, read to me the Qur'an. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud would say, Ya Rasulullah, should I read you the Qur'an and it was revealed upon you? He said, Inni uhibbu an asma'ahu min ghayri. I love to hear it from other than myself. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud started reading Surah An-Nisa. He started from the beginning. He got past the middle of the surah, فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا إِلَى كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ إِلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. When he got to this ayat, Rasulullah told him, okay, stop. حَسْبُكَ الْآنِ. Stop there. Abdullah bin Mas'ud, he looked, he said, Rasulullah was crying when he looked at him at that particular point. The ayat said, how is it going to be when we bring a witness over every ummah, the Anbiya and the Rasul, and we bring you, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, over these people as a witness. So the Quran has to be learned with someone who is a hafiz, and it is the responsibility of the Muslim community to make sure that they have a hafiz in the community, and to make sure that his place is honored and respected. This is part of what people who are responsible for the Muslims should seek to do. As it relates to the Quran, the last part that I want to share with you, Ikhwan, is a technical aspect, because even though we won't get too technical in our classes, there is a level of technicality and a level of scholastic aptitude that we expect, especially from the younger brothers. You have to force yourself to become a serious student of knowledge, and you can't have the knowledge that's like Swiss cheese. You know, it has holes in it. You read that book, one chapter, and you put it down. And you read the other book, half of a chapter, and you put it down. And your knowledge is like that. The Dawah Allah and the advice and the information that we give, we understand the level of the people. But that does not mean that we should just skate through all of the lessons. There is an aspect of knowledge that Allah will bless you with when you take getting knowledge and seeking knowledge seriously as it relates to the book of Allah. What is the Quran and what is the definition that the scholars of Al-Islam gave for the Quran? There are multiple definitions, but the best one, inshallah, is the one that consists of five aspects. And we're going to ask this question, inshallah, at the end of the dars. What is the definition of the Quran? What is the Quran? The scholars said that the Quran is first the kalam of Allah. Kalamullah. You're going to remember that. It is kalamullah. And anyone, when I ask you, or you have to look at him, do association, you know kalamullah. The Quran is the kalam of Allah. It is not the kalam of Muhammad. It is not the kalam of a jinn. It is not the kalam of a magician. It is not the kalam of the malaika, as the kuffar of Quraysh claimed. They used to claim that it is the kalam of someone else. In hadha illa qawlul bashar. That's what they said. This is nothing but the speech of a human being. It is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second, al-munazzil ala Muhammad. Whose name is Muhammad in the masjid? His real name is Muhammad. Whose name is Muhammad? Muhammad Nadeem. Where's Muhammad? Muhammad Nadim is the second aspect. It is the kalam of Allah that was revealed upon Muhammad. Because Allah has kalam that was revealed upon Musa. What's that kalam called? Huh? The kalam of Allah that was revealed upon Musa is the Torah. The kalam of Allah that was revealed upon Isa is the Injil. The Suhuf of Ibrahim. The Zabur of Dawud. So it is the kalam of Allah that was revealed upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And it was revealed with a tawatur. A tawatur. This is going to be taskeen because his name starts with a T. Tawatur. Taskeen, tawatur. Meaning the Quran is unique and it is a miracle. No one can come to the Quran and produce a Quran like it. No one. No one. قُلْ إِنِ اجْتَمَعَتْ الْإِنْسُ وَالْجِنُّ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ لَا يَأْتُونَ بِمِثْلِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ ظَهِيرًا. Say to them, Muhammad, if all of the mankind and the jinn came together to produce the likes of this Quran, never would they be able to do so, even if they were helping each other to accomplish the job. The hadith is not like that. You can make up a hadith that seems to be like it's from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why we have sahih hadith and da'if hadith. People can invent hadith. All they have to do is make something up and it makes sense. And you don't know is it authentic or not authentic until you investigate using the sciences of hadith. But the Quran is like that, not like that. No one can come and produce a surah of the Quran or an ayat of the Quran, even if all of the jinn or the mankind came together to do it. So those are the five things. It is the kalam of Allah that was revealed upon Muhammad by the way of a tawatur. And reading it is ibadah. And the statements of it, the kalimat of it, the alfaz of the Quran are al-i'jad. Unique. No one can duplicate it. Those five things. Let me choose a person for this one. I'm going to choose my neighbor right there. My neighbor. Don't let me down, Ashi. Don't let me down. I know you know. You're going to be a good student of knowledge. Go ahead. Bismillah. The Quran consists of five things. Five things. What are they? The kalam of Allah as opposed to what? Which means it's what? Not the kalam of the jinn or anyone else. That's number one. Second, it was revealed to Muhammad as opposed to what? It wasn't revealed to anyone else from the Anbiya or the Malaika or anything. Number three, it came with a tawatur. A tawatur. What is the meaning of a tawatur? A lot of people, one generation handed it over to the next generation in large multitudes. No other book is like that. That's good, Ahi. Don't blow it. You have two more. Don't blow it. It is ibadah. What does that mean? When you read it, there is ibadah in it. Mashallah, mashallah. I would give someone else the last one, but I have faith and confidence in you. The last one, what is it? The Quran is unique, which means what? It's a miracle. No one else can duplicate it. Now, that's a good student right there, Ashi. From now on, inshallah, I want you to sit in the front of the class. So the kalam of Allah, it's the kalam of Allah that was revealed upon Muhammad, and it is a tawatur. Ashi, Talib, what does a tawatur mean? Who represents a tawatur in the majlis? Who represents a tawatur? Who? From our brothers. Who is a tawatur in the majlis? Now, say it again. What person in our majlis represents a tawatur? When you look at that person, you remember what it was. Who? What is a tawatur? Now? Taj is a tawatur. T. Tawatur, Taj. And plus, it's a lot, meaning his beard was a lot. That's another way. As a student, Ikhwan, you got to start learning how to do association and different things in your own way. put these things together. But that comes with time, inshallah. So that was a good job, Akhi. Excellent job. Do you guys have any questions concerning today's dars? Any questions concerning today's dars, ikhwan? Naam, Sheikh Shatan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرٍ. Verily we have made the Quran easy. So is there someone who would memorize it, think about it, contemplate it? So how are we going to say that the Quran is heavy, difficult, and over here it says that it is easy? That's another argument against us. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran that it is easy. He said in Surah Al-Taha, وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى. We have not revealed the Quran upon you to make mushaqqa. وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى. We have not revealed the Quran upon you, ya Muhammad, and made it like something difficult for you. La. So the Quran is easy. Meaning, if you put forth the effort, Allah will give you the tawfiq to memorize it. But you have to organize your time. You have to be committed to it. You have to be serious. Right now you're pumped up. Yeah, I'm going to go and I'm going to memorize. I've been a Muslim. I'm 35 years old and I don't have juz amma yet. That's an aib. Person comes into Islam and he gets juz amma in a year, 2 years, and you've been a Muslim all your life and you've been introduced to Arabic language and all you have is juz amma. The little kid in our majlis, I came to the masjid the other day, the boy was sitting there waiting for someone to make wudu, and he was saying, Tabarak alladhi biyadihi al-mulku wa ala kulli shayin qadir. I was impressed with the way he was reading and his memorization. So he's on the Jews of a Tabarak, and we're still the last 10 ayats of last 10 surahs of the Quran. As Shaitani comes, and he's going to make you diverted. So if a person applies himself and he gets organized and he gets disciplined, the Quran is easy to memorize. But if he wants to waste his time, he starts Tabarak and he gets 15, 20 ayats. And then he takes a break and he watches Scooby-Doo Part 2. He's going to forget what he memorized. If he busies himself and he's watching TV all the time, he's going to find it difficult when he's not engaging the Quran consistently. When Ramadan comes, he's not going to be able to read the Quran. He won't be able to complete the Quran, not in English and not in Arabic. He won't be able to do so because of the way the Quran is. It's made. Not as made, it's the kalam of Allah and the way it is. If you don't work with it consistently, there's going to be some difficulty upon you. Abdullah ibn Abbas, Ikrimah, was one of the main students of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Abdullah ibn Abbas used to tie up the foot of Ikrimah. He would tie him up with a chain to the pole of the masjid, and he would teach him the Quran and the fara'id. And then after that, Ikrimah became one of the scholars of the tafsir of the Quran. One of the premier, preeminent students of Abdullah ibn Abbas. Any more questions, ikhwan? The first question we didn't repeat. We had, but I guess it was understood from the context of the answer. The second question is, in the hadith, the brother said, if a person reads the Quran with difficulty, the hadith says it gives two rewards. And the brother said, and if the person memorizes and he reads the Quran perfectly, he gets one reward. Based upon that, a person says, I'm not going to learn the rulings. I'm going to read it with mistakes, so I'll get the double reward. First of all, the hadith didn't say the one who memorized it well gets one reward. No, he'll be raised up with the malaika yawm al-qiyamah. The mahir with the Quran is with the malaika yawm al-qiyamah. So his reward is higher than the two rewards. But the one who has a problem with reading it and he's finding his difficulty, he has an incentive, an extra encouragement And that is, go ahead and turn to the Quran and read it. But if he takes the opposite view, the fahm that's saqeem, the fahm that is marid, and he says, well, I'm going to remain jahil about the Quran and cut the Quran up and chew the Quran up and recite it the wrong way so that I get the double reward. No, he disqualifies himself from that reward because he's disobeying Allah intentionally. Because Allah commanded him, read the Quran with tajweed. But we say, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah will not burden him beyond his ability, but he has to make an effort according to his ability. But to say, I'm not going to make an effort, is tantamount to saying, I'm not going to do what Allah ordered me to do by reading with tajweed. So that's a fahm, a fiqh, that is sick, is not befitted. Concerning the questions and the issues that I'll bring to the table, what about, ikhwan, putting the Quran, the mushaf, on the floor like this? Is that permissible? Is that permissible? We'll say that the Quran should not be put on the floor like that. It shouldn't be put on the floor. Especially if you don't have a justified, bona fide reason to put it on the floor. What's a justified reason? You're in the masjid reading the Quran and someone falls over and he's catching a heart attack. You may put the Quran down to go and help that brother because there are dire situations that are going on. But I'm going to go downstairs, I'm going to go to shake his hand, so therefore I put the Quran on the floor. Or the brother comes to me and I put the Quran on the floor. No, you should not put the Quran because it's the kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal. And in the Quran Allah said, ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَذِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Whoever exalts the institutions of Allah, that is a proof of the taqwa in his heart. So he exalts the masjid. It's from the sha'air of Allah. He doesn't steal from the masjid. If the masjid's garbage needs to be taken out, he takes it out. He glorifies the masjid by he himself being the first one to come to do the floor. He guards the masjid. If he finds that the door is open, the lights are on, he cuts them off. He is exalting the sha'ira of Al-Islam. The Quran is from the sha'air of Al-Islam. The Qibla is from the sha'air of Al-Islam. So when we go to the bathroom, akramakum Allah, we have certain etiquette that we don't do it towards the Qibla out of respect to the Qibla. So the Quran should not be put on the floor except for dire situations. Another issue is, in our homes, the Quran, we put it on the highest shelf. Does that have any justification? Is it haram to put the Quran down here? Or should it be up here? And in my house, I have to look for the place that's the highest point to put the Quran. I'm going to put it up there on that shelf. Is that from Islam? Is that from the Sunnah? And can I put the Quran under another book? Put another book on top of the Quran? From the etiquette of the Quran is, you should not put other books on top of the Quran. Especially car magazines. Especially comic books. Especially the TV guy. Especially books like that. You should not, out of exalting the Quran based upon the same ayat that we use. And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Al-Islam ya'la wa la yu'la alayhi. From the word Ali. Al-Islam ya'la wa la yu'la alayhi. Al-Islam should be uppermost and nothing should be put over Islam. So the Quran is from the most important symbols of the religion of Muslims, of Al-Islam. So nothing should be put on top of the Quran. And there's nothing wrong with putting the Quran on the top highest shelf. But what's the benefit of putting the Quran on the highest shelf and it's gaining dust? You even may go to the tailor and he makes a nice cover for the Quran, wrapped in gold with a zipper and everything like that, made out of platinum. Now the Quran has platinum, the zipper on it. The bling bling is on the Quran, believe it or not. What is the use of that? What is the benefit of that if you're not praying? If you're not wearing hijab? You don't respect the Quran. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he told the women that Allah has cursed the woman who plucks her eyebrows. She makes them skinny. She is mal'una. She's cursed. He said, Allah cursed her in the kitab. The lady said, but your wife has
her eyebrows plucked, Ya Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He said, you're lying. If my wife has her eyebrows plucked, it happened recently, and if that's the case, she's divorced. He went, and her eyebrows weren't plucked. The other lady came and said, I read the Quran from beginning to the end, and I didn't see where Allah cursed or mentioned anything about the eyebrow. He said, you haven't read the book of Allah. Go back and read the book of Allah. The lady went, read the Quran, came back. You didn't read the book of Allah. She went, came back. He said, did you not read where Allah said, مَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا? Allah said in the Quran, what the messenger gives you, take it, and what he prohibited you from, leave it alone. She said, yeah, I read that. He said, well, Rasulullah said, لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْوَاشِمَ وَالْمَوْشُمَ. He said, Allah's prophet said, may Allah curse the lady who does her eyebrows and the one who does it for her. So Allah said that in the Quran. He was saying in essence. So the point is, if you're not wearing hijab, if you're not praying, if you're not fasting, if you're drinking khamr, if you're being bad to your parents and you cut them off and you physically abuse them, if you're beating up your wife, if you're doing these things, then you're not respecting the Quran, putting it on the highest shelf in the house. What is the benefit in it? It will be similar to the Jews, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاءَ وَلَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا بِئْسَ مَثَلُ قَوْمِ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. It's similar to the Jews who were told to take the Torah, but they didn't take it. It's like the similar to a donkey who has on his back a bunch of books. What a terrible similar tool for the people who deny and reject the ayat of Allah. And Allah do not, he does not guide the people who are zalimi. So that's from the sifat and the characteristics of the Jews. Also from the characteristics of the Jews that we may fall into, ikhwan, as it relates to the Quran, is taking the Quran and selling it for a miserable price. Someone dies in our family, we get the guy to come and he reads Surah to Yasin, believing that Yasin should be read over the dead. A fabricated hadith, اقرأوا يسين على موتاكم, read Yasin over the dead people. This is a lie on the Prophet. So the person comes and he reads Yasin and we give him money for it. Or the person comes and he reads the Quran with a lahin. And he does like that, playing with the book of Allah. You can get tapes with music and the Quran. Islamic rap and the Quran. وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا آيَاتِ اللَّهِ هُزُوًا. Do not take the ayat of Allah as a game or a joke. إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٍ فَصْلٍ وَمَا هُوَ بِالْهَزْلٍ. Verily the Quran is a serious kalam. And it is not amusement. It's not a joke. So we're going to stop here, Juan, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us all hufad of the Quran, people who have the ability to work by what they know from the Quran, and we ask them to give us the tawfiq, all of us, to get serious about turning towards the Quran, spending some time with the Quran and on the Quran, memorizing it, hifzan, reading it, tajweedan, making the tadabbur and the ta'ammul, contemplating and considering it, its meaning, and having the taqdeer and the ihtiram, the respect and the honor that is due to the Quran and the people of the Quran. Hadha wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.